everyone, welcome to the latest amazing edition. I'm prophetically saying it's amazing edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast with Pastor Gary Zamora. Pastor, how are you today?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you as always. I feel like, I don't know when this airs or whatever. I feel like it's been a minute since we've been together. So I don't know whether it feels that way to anybody else, but been pretty busy, but so happy to be here. I love being here with you. It's such an honor to get to participate in this with you.
Same. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for being here. And I'm really excited about what we are going to be talking about today. When we think about the kingdom of God, for most of my life, I thought about when I'm dead.
Yeah.
When I die, I'm going to see the kingdom of God. And you will. But God started asking me a question I felt just like Jesus was asking the disciples. Who do you say I am? But instead, I feel like he asked me this question, where do you say I am?
Yeah.
And that changed my perspective. This happened quite a long time ago, but it really has been quite a journey for some time, knowing where he is.
Yeah.
As opposed to when is he coming? And listen, Jesus will do everything he said. He'll appear, his kingdom, we'll unite. You know, I say it like this, earth was built for heaven.
Mm-hmm.
There's a marriage going to take place here. The kingdom of God is at hand, however.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Oh, man. And I'm so excited to talk about that. And there's an interesting nuance. There's almost a paradox within that because, you know, Jesus says he came and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And everyone thought that meant he was going to set up this kingdom, that he was going to take the throne, the literal throne in Jerusalem right then, be the political king, vanquish the Romans, take over everything. And Jesus said, well, no. That's not what the kingdom is. The kingdom of God's within you. The kingdom of God doesn't come through observation. You're not going to be able to look over here and see where it is, or look over there and see where it is. But then he says, seek first the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So we can find it, but we can't see it, but it's within us, but it's, where is it? But it's now, but he says it, but then he beats us to find it. And so it's kind of like, who's willing to go there?
Yeah, that's it. And why the parable? You know, the reason they thought about the kingdom of God showing up as a real kingdom, in a sense, not real, but as a natural kingdom, was because that's how they lived.
Yeah.
You know, the Old Testament prophets and the Old Testament people, they didn't think a lot about going to heaven. I mean, if you read the Old Testament, there was more intention as to seeing God's kingdom rule, in the sense that they would overcome their enemies and they would take over more territory and God would just bless the people.
They would have provision, for the people, it was, and the land, be fruitful.
You saw the blessing of the Lord.
Yeah.
Almost kind of like trying to get back to the garden
or
back to the promised land.
Sure, you know, yeah,
that was
absolutely the
journey. But there's something more to it in the words of Christ. And when Jesus came, I think of it like this, the king came. And if the king wasn't in a kingdom, and the king is Jesus, would you want to be wherever he wasn't? Does that come out right?
No, that's good.
You know, I asked my wife and I were talking the other day, and I said, if you think about some place that we think about being heaven, if Jesus wasn't there, no matter where it was or how beautiful it was, would it be heaven without Jesus? Would it be the kingdom of God without God? And the answer is no. So then you have to ask, where is he? And that's the question. Where is he? I mean, you know, we say just almost, it really is sometimes, it's just like metaphorical or this etheric feeling that he's with me, kind of like he's watching me, you know, he's watching me, but is he really with me? I mean, you're here, I'm here. So I'm here with you, you're here with me. Where is Jesus in all this? Is he really with us?
You're right. We do tend to think about that. This might be a little bit of too much of a sidetrack, but just sharing this, you know, I used to be in worship you know, I've, you know, been through lots of different kinds of churches with different kinds of expression worship. And I was always a big, very expressive worship person, raise my hands and really, really get into that. And this is no way to disparage anyone that does that. For me personally,
I still do it.
But this idea of raising my hands up to God in heaven, one day I had this insight and this sense of like, well, wait a minute. If Jesus is inside me, who am I raising my hands to? He's here. He's right here. And since that, I raise my hands a little bit less, you know, only because it's kind of like it's not like I'm singing or praying to myself or anything like that, but trying to take that more literally, and that it's not just some type of metaphor that he's with me, but to really go, do I believe that he's in me?
Yeah.
You know, and how do we express that and find that?
Are we looking? Are we waiting? Are we waiting for what we should be looking for?
Yeah.
You know, are we waiting for what we should be looking for? You know, one of the chapters that I've written, I talk about when we're looking for, it could be your iPhone, your cell phone, or your sunglasses on top of your head, and you're hunting all over the house and you can't find them. I literally did that yesterday.
Really?
I'm on the phone and I'm needing some information.
I'm looking for your phone.
I have in my notes on my phone. And my wife and daughter in the kitchen, they said, what are you looking for? I said, I couldn't believe it. And I had just written a chapter on
about
doing
that.
And I say something like, as crazy as it may seem, it actually happens. It does happen. And it just happened. I just thought, how is it you can have something, a device in your hand, and you're using it and you're looking for its contents at a text at the same time? It's just like, I need the notes in my cell phone. And I hang on so while I get that, and you're looking. The kingdom of God is the same way. We do the same thing, Steve.
Yeah.
We do the same thing. We think about Jesus. We talk a good talk, but it's that walk. When God walked in the garden, it really meant he kept step with man, and man was able to keep step with God. God walked in the garden, and man walked with God. Jesus restored that relationship with us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about, we were talking earlier and you talked about Peter, Peter declaring when Jesus said to him, who do men say that I am? And they said a whole bunch of different answers. And Peter said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
And he said, on that rock. And then that, you bringing up Genesis right now, things makes me think also how you talk about, God saying to Adam to name the animals.
Yeah.
And it came out, and it was both about sharing that not just sharing that heart, but like, it's almost a declaring. It's like what you talked about. I love this, what you were saying on this past Sunday. And again, I don't know when this is coming out, so it may not be this past Sunday, but when you started talking about quantum mechanics and quantum physics and the idea that, and it was so cool because literally the day before that I'd read a really great article about that very subject.
Mm.
And it's always been a subject that's fascinating me.
Sure.
But it's like particles, you know, go from being waves and probabilities to actualities when you observe them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and
that is a metaphor for the kingdom of God is just incredible.
It is. It's in everything. And in an atom, the structure of an atom, protons, electrons, neutrons, it's a trinity. You see God in everything if you look for him there.
Mm-hmm.
If you look for him there. Where is Christ? He's with me. I mean, he is with me. And here's where the page turns and you begin to write a new chapter that's encouraging in your life. If you look at it like this, Jesus really is present with me in every form and format you could possibly imagine. But if I don't realize or recognize it's in my hand, the kingdom of God is within your grasp, I'm looking all over, and it couldn't be any closer than right here stuck to your ear, you know? And I've done that. And I know people that have done it.
I've done it many times.
And it's like, so what is God doing when it comes to the kingdom? Are we doing that? Have we done that with the kingdom of God? Okay. Are we looking for, are we, when we think about Jesus coming back, okay,
mm-hmm.
and the word, he's going to do everything he said he's going to do, his kingdom, the judgment of God, the heaven and earth coming together, that's a reality. But is the kingdom of God that we're talking about today and what he's talking about, are we supposed to view something differently than waiting? What's that old saying? Good things come to those who wait. I differ. I believe good things come to those who look for them, for those who are aware of them. You know, what are you looking at and what are you looking for? In quantum mechanics, as you know, you can't see it. Mm-mm. And you can't really shine a light on it and look at it. So what you have to do is you have to send a beam, if you will. You have to interact with it by faith.
Yeah.
I mean, we know about it because someone believed it was there and begin to interact with it. And when you interact with a subatomic particle, you begin to observe it, interact with it, observe it, kind of the same thing. You're aware that it's there. You may not be able to see it, but you're aware that it's there. But when you do that, that wave, you know, the probability, which means that we're not looking at it yet. Let's just say we're not looking at the kingdom of God yet, like a subatomic particle, yeah. But it's there and it's in a wave form, which means anything could happen. The possibilities are endless, but that doesn't help much if you need something specific to take place. Probability, possibility, and promise are three different things.
Yeah.
It could happen. It might happen, or I promise it will happen. And God gave us a promise. But when in quantum mechanics, when you observe it, when you interact with it, it immediately snaps into a certain place, a certain form. It's not that way before it's observed. It's there, but that particle immediately transforms into something that says, this is what it is. And this is where it is. It becomes an identifiable particle, and it becomes a place. It exists right here in this place. I look at that as observing the kingdom of God. When we observe the kingdom of God, the possibility and probability snaps into something that says it's certain. It's this, not just possibility, not probable. It's certain. Look at the peace. It may be that particle today is, there was so many things going on in my mind, so much uncertainty that I was losing my peace. You know, I felt just shaken to the core when I got some information about something or someone. Yeah. And when I begin to look for the kingdom, immediately that subatomic particle of the kingdom, if you will, just snapped into place in my mind and I had peace. My thinking became sharper. I knew how to pull myself back into position.
Yeah.
I knew in whom I had believed.
You know what it makes me think of? There was this young man I met once 20 something years ago who had this saying, and he said something like, every event holds the potential for purpose and destiny.
Yeah.
Isn't that a good phrase?
Yeah, that's a great phrase.
Someone should say that.
I have to coin that.
He coined that phrase. And it really is that, because it actually has an interesting, I'll say it again, every event holds the potential for purpose and destiny. Yeah. And that was something that really transformed my life in terms of, you know, as we were beginning a friendship and a relationship. And I think as you apply that to the idea of this quantum mechanics, because the event itself won't have an effect on your destiny if you're not willing to then make the observation to it and choose that.
Yeah.
So whether it's a positive event, I mean, it's easy to make a positive event go towards our destiny. That's easy. That takes no effort at all, really, most of the time.
Yeah.
If we don't screw it up. But but it's the negative events. It's those events that we don't think necessarily. And that's where the kingdom's hiding.
Yeah.
And so it's like if we'll look at that, we'll observe that event and declare the kingdom at work there and seek the kingdom in the events in our lives, then it begins to manifest itself and it all starts taking shape and working.
If we do that, will anything happen? Try it.
Yeah.
Not as in try it. Do it. Do what? Seek first the kingdom of God. I love the scriptures in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. How could we have perfect faith And is that possible? Because, you know, our world, our reality, our culture, you know, it's, the statement is so consistently there. No one's perfect. We all make mistakes. We're all going to fall. We're all going to, you know, there's, what are you looking at? You've got me convinced. Of course you're going to sin. Of course you're going to fall. Of course you're going to make mistakes. How could you not? You're so focused on it. Right. That's where your faith is. Is that perfect faith or is that imperfect faith? Is that absolute disbelief? I think so. What is perfect faith? Looking to Jesus, the author, the founder, the perfecter of our faith. And the word goes on to say that he looked forward to what he was suffering so we could become a part of his kingdom. So how important is what we look at? How much does what we look at affect us? What role does looking at something, how big a role does it play in our lives? Well, the scriptures really tell us to look at a specific thing. That's why Jesus said, first thing you need to do, seek the kingdom of God. You don't need all the answers. I know what you need to eat and drink, the clothes you need to wear, your business, you know, your family, all the cares of this world. I know what you have need of. God knows what you have need of. Here's the answer. What I want you to do first, seek the kingdom of God, and we'll be able to more intelligibly talk about what those things are. So there is a mind. There is a reality of God's mind that is found, that is realized, that snaps into position in us.
Yeah.
Because we can say all the time, God can do anything, but that snaps into position in us when we just say, that's where I'm looking for my answers. That's where I'm looking for the resolve. Because we want answers that address a problem that may not be a problem.
Right.
We see, you and I were talking, you're doing a documentary, I don't know if I'm supposed to say what it is,
it's fine.
on the Shroud, and I'm totally excited about watching it because I know it's going to be great. And you came to a point that, you know, the hammer came down and it's just like, we need this and we need this now. And I know you were up crazy hours, but when I talked to you afterwards, we actually called and talked a few days.
Yeah.
I think before you wrapped it all up.
Yeah, before I wrapped it up.
The pressure was extreme. Yeah. I mean, extreme enough, I think you could probably, one might say, you know, I felt like I was having an anxiety attack. But something happened in that minute. What if you don't pray that away?
Yeah.
But you say, God, in this sense of uncertainty and overwhelming feel of, I don't know what to do, I'm looking for you in here. I'm not asking it to go away. I'm asking you to show me where you are in this. Because if my steps are ordered by you, and they are, you have to be in this, even in this emotion. I'm looking for you there. Sometimes we try to pray things away we're not supposed to. Yeah. Sometimes we're just simply supposed to look for God and his kingdom. I'm going to go this far, as far as to say every time.
Every time.
Would happen if every single time, okay, is God not going to do, as Jesus said, I know what you have need of, is God not going to address an issue if we don't ask him? I mean, do we have to tell God, I need clothes, I need food, I need my bills paid? Well, Jesus said we don't.
Yeah.
The word says looking.
Right. And how much is that our prayer? How much is that our relationship?
And I get it. We all have needs. I'm not saying you can't pray for things, but is there something more intuitive within us and within the kingdom? Is there a marriage? Is there something we can know about a situation and that fear, if you will, that probability of things could happen and possibility snaps into a sense of certainty, just like in quantum mechanics when you begin to investigate, you begin to look at it, that says, wait a minute, I'm okay, I get it. And I know we talked afterwards, and I think your world just
It really did. I mean,
in a positive way.
It was, the heart of this man is just incredible. And the fact that he reached out to me during a time that I really needed it. But it was that type of thing that when it was first, like I had two deadlines, kind of one that I missed, you know, but that was supposed to be the real deadline. And then I extended out to finish. I got most of the stuff down, and then I had this other one. And when I got the first deadline, the very first time, it was, it was literally panic inducing, and it was like, oh no, and I'm never gonna get this done, and this is gonna be terrible, and all this kind of stuff. And then it was really the next day that, in fact, without getting into it, there was a word that you had, a prophetic word you had given me, that the result of that was echoing in my mind the next day, and it really helped me to reframe again what I was experiencing then, and that really empowered me for it to really get through and do things that I wouldn't have been able to do anyways. And then when this next deadline, that was just like, I knew what to do, but it was just, there wasn't any time. There was any of this, there was that. And that it was the words that you spoke really helped, like, just settle me and just slow down my brain, you know, as if, you know, I was like, it's someone on ADHD and needed like Adderall or something. Like, it was like, it was that type of thing. And it really like helped slow down my brain. And I was able to get everything done, which I think that would have been too jumbly, you know. And it's that understanding that God's, but the whole point ultimately being, though, if none of that had happened, I still would be sitting here today without the project finished and not sure what to do with it.
Sometimes we don't need more time. We need more pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. James says, count it all joy when your faith is tried. When you put your, you know, you're facing the other end of the barrel, you know, and you're saying, wow, what am I going to do? I'm going to get shot here.
Yep.
And God said, I want you to believe I'm with you. Steve, if everything always works out in the way that there's pressure always goes away, would we ever know the kingdom of God as the kingdom of authority that overcomes pressure,
yeah,
not just has to have it go away? We've talked about the furnace, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, mm-hmm, Abednego. God could have extinguished the flame in the furnace, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, he could have taken the thorn out of Paul's flesh, but Paul said, I've asked three times, and God says, that's not the conversation we should be having. The conversation we should be having is, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul then says, what does Paul say? He said, it was actually good for me. He said, it kept me in position in my mind. And it's that mind thing. See, when we think about looking, when we think about observing, what are we really talking about? We're talking about thinking.
Yeah.
We're talking about how our mind works. The kingdom of God is the mind of God. Without the mind of the king in any providence, would it be God's kingdom? Of course not. So we're really talking about the mind of God. Give me your mind on this thing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is what I say. You know why God showed up in the fire? You know why that subatomic particle became present in a present state? Because they were looking for it. They were looking for God in the furnace. Listen to what they said. They said, King, we're not taking any time. There's no debate here. We're not doing what you ask us to do. We're not going to worship your idol. And we're not going to bow down to you. So do what you will. Our God will deliver us. And he said it. Our God will deliver us. And it really doesn't matter if he didn't. He will, though. So what were they looking for when they got thrown in the fire? They weren't looking for the flame. They were looking for God. And they found him. And consequently, they were safe. They were secure. And it bore witness. See, that's the whole thing. A lot of times we just want things to go away that we'd be stronger with them than them going away, because God will transform them into something beautiful. The Hebrew boys come out of the fire, and the king says, don't you dare speak against these men's God, because he is the true God. Okay, that's what we need in the world, Steve. We keep, so often I think we just want a resolve to the problems. The problem isn't the problem. What we perceive is the problem. We perceive that God can't really handle it unless he takes us out of it.
Yeah.
What if Peter walking on the water, Peter walks right up to Jesus and then he sinks? Why? And we've talked about it, because he looked away from Jesus. But why did he look away from Jesus? He knew there was a storm on the water. He was there when he walked out of the boat. Why? Why did he look away? Because he expected the storm to stop and it didn't.
Mm. Wait, this is still going. Yeah.
We walk up to Jesus and go, I'd expect this to go away. Right. So maybe he's not with me because the storm in my life is still going on. Maybe he's not here. Let's look back at the reality. Let's look back at the history of Jesus' life. He went to the cross. No one stopped it. Even in the garden, Father, if this cup can pass from me. But he prayed that powerful, life-transforming, the kingdom of God is at hand prayer. But not my will, your will be done. Jesus not only told us to pray that, he showed us how to pray it.
Yeah.
And that's the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's not a passive word. It's not a passive prayer. He's saying, look for it. When you pray, not just this prayer, when you pray, pray like this. Pray with intention. Pray in a very certain way, the kingdom of God. Observe, look for me in the storm. Look for me in whatever it is. It could be your health. It could be your finance. It could be family. It could be your job. It could be anything. That's the great thing. It is everything.
It is everything.
He is in all things. The word says, all things hold together. He holds all things together, and he is the governor. His kingdom isn't coming. His kingdom will come, but his kingdom is here because his kingdom isn't one thing. Mm-hmm. It isn't one place. His kingdom is who he is. It's everything. It's every place. God ever present with us. And when you start thinking that way, your mind changes.
It really does.
The government of the kingdom becomes the government of us. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. It's incredibly powerful.
Wow.
It's life transforming.
It really is. It really is. And you begin to realize that it is about, as we were talking about before earlier, that the reality of what that relationship he wants with us is in the here and now.
Yeah.
It's not far off. Yeah. It's not a distance. It'll be a different form after we die.
Yeah.
But we're alive is what everyone else in the Bible lived to know God through.
Yeah.
And we've relegated that so many ways to like, what are the steps I need to do to make sure I'm in the position so that when I do die, I knew that when they didn't care so much about where they went after they died.
Yeah.
You know, it was about what they're experiencing in him now.
Yeah. And you know, you think about again about the sea parts and water comes out of a rock and, you know, Jacob sees the angels of God. And I mean, does God change? You know, Do the ages, does time, matter, space change God? No, Jesus said, I'm the same. So we've changed.
Yeah.
You know, and in this New Testament revelatory world we live in, are we thinking that we're something that we're not? Or are we disbelieving we're something that we are? You know, are we thinking and saying that God is with us and we have power and are more than conquerors? Are we saying it as though we're reading a script that we have to perform down the road?
Yeah.
Are we rehearsing? Or are we really the story? Are we the narrative? Has Christ made us his witnesses? It's all about him. So if we looking unto Jesus, if we'll do that, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, then something different happens. It's no longer just a statement. It's not a slogan. It's become our song.
Yeah.
It's the way we pray. When I pray expecting to see the kingdom of God. And if I say, not my will, but your will be done, I'm going to become a lot less discouraged if I know how to pray.
Yep.
And we're going to do a podcast on that. But if I knew how to pray, I would not doubt that God has answered my prayers. And that's the next podcast.
Yeah.
But if I knew how to pray, and the focus here, where we should put our attention, what the theme should be is, are we looking for or waiting for?
Yeah.
So are we waiting for what we should be looking for? Are we waiting for what we should be looking for? Is it here or is it not here? Now, if we keep waiting for it, if we say we're looking for it, but we keep waiting for it, God, where are you in the fire? Where are you in the sea? Where are you in this barren desert with no water? That's what he said. I led you someplace where there's no water, there's no food, there's poisonous snakes and scorpions. God led them there. He is God in the midst of the storm. He's God in the midst of the desert. If we believe God for his influence in our minds, if we'll look for him, our minds will change, and so will our world, and our influence will become far greater than we could have imagined, and we'll bear witness to who he is. That's the kingdom of God.
That is the kingdom of God. So I'm going to stop waiting and start looking. How about you? Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you, Steve.
We'll see you until next time.
Next time.
Bye.